Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Happy Easter to you. We're going to continue to celebrate the great gift of this great season. I love this time of the year between Easter and the celebration of Ascension coming down the road and Pentecost. It's a rich, rich time of the year to both celebrate the victory of our Lord, his resurrection from the dead, the beginning of the new creation in him, but also seeing and walking with the church through the Acts of the Apostles, the early church, and the unfolding of God's plan and purpose in his people, and how the work of the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus, given to the apostles, given to them on the day of Pentecost, and given to those who are baptized into Christ, the outworking of the movement and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he came to cast fire on the earth. He said that it would be already ablaze. That's his dream. That's his passion. This is why the church needs to be renewed at different times in history. Of course, the Holy Spirit is always present in the church and the life of the church and is communicated primarily, but not exclusively, through the sacraments and through the scriptures and the teaching of the church. But also, the Lord comes to his church when she most needs it and gives us a fresh outpouring and a renewing grace for those who need to be awakened again, strengthened, renewed, empowered to be able to engage the challenges of their time. And that's, I believe, what we're experiencing today in the church, even in the midst of the shaking and the difficulty and the troubles. Everything's within the hands of divine providence. So we're going to continue today with Acts chapter 4. And of course, what that story is about is the whole unfolding of the ministry of the apostles, their preaching and their teaching in Jerusalem, the very city in which they had followed Jesus at a distance, were scattered during Holy Week, where on the night of Holy Thursday, we celebrate that their battle against the powers of sin and death was so clearly manifested in their own life. And Jesus told them after he appeared to them in the resurrection, after the resurrection, he said to them that they will be the witnesses. They will testify to what they have seen, what they have heard, and they will go forward clothed with power, Jesus said. They needed to wait for that power. On the day of Pentecost, they would bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They would proclaim the forgiveness of sins, the new life that's there in Christ. And so that's what Peter and John were doing at the temple. At the temple, they encountered the lame beggar who Peter prayed with, and he was healed, caused a big stir. Everybody gathered around the apostles. Peter began to preach to them and explain to them what happened and why that happened to the guy, because Peter is so clear it wasn't him, it was Christ in him, proclaiming it, and just exactly what Jesus had said to them, that they would do the very works that Jesus did, and even greater works. He said they would do this whole mission of the Spirit alive now in the apostles, the anointing that was on Jesus now in the apostles, transferred to them on the day of Pentecost, same thing given to the church in baptism. And as we move in the grace and power of the Spirit, we see the apostles doing the very thing Jesus said they would do. And now the leaders are angry at them the same way they were angry at Jesus. And that too is what Jesus said would happen. So what happened to the master is going to happen to the servant. He said, if you follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross, because the world will hate you because it hated me. And we know from a few weeks ago on the radio program, I was meditating on St. John's Last Supper discourse. And part of that discourse was Jesus' beautiful prayer in John 17, where he's praying to the Father on behalf of the apostles and saying to them, Father, I gave them your word, the word you gave me to communicate to them. You gave them to me, and I communicated the word that you are the only true God, and I am your son whom you have sent. He said, they believe it. And because they've internalized it, he said, Father, the world hates them just as it hated me. But he said, my prayer for them now, Father, is not that you take them out of the world, because he wants us in the world to fulfill the mission, but he doesn't want them to be of the world. He said, Father, I pray that not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the devil, from the evil one. And so here the apostles are moving in the Spirit under the prayer, really in the guidance of the Lord. And they are being protected and guided by the Holy Spirit from the evil one. And they're proclaiming the truth to the religious leadership of the time, the governing body, really, of the people of Israel, just as Jesus himself had done. And of course, they threatened him, the rulers and the elders and the scribes and others threatened them, Peter and John in particular, to stop talking about Jesus. And the famous line where you see, what is it that the apostles in the early church spoke about? What did they preach? What was at the core of what they communicated from Christ? And here's an example. Acts chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well.'" So they're testifying to the reality of what Christ has done to the man through them. It's essentially what Jesus had commissioned them to do and what we're called to do. We're called to testify to the reality of the grace that's at work in our lives and the grace that's at work, hopefully, in the life of the church. And hopefully it's visible enough for people to be able to see it. This is why signs and wonders, which were necessary in the life and the ministry of Jesus, which Peter himself on the day of Pentecost, as he went forward under the anointing of the Spirit, the first time coming out from the upper room, he proclaims that God the Father bore witness to his Son through signs, wonders, and mighty works done in his name. And so Peter and the apostles are doing the same. It's what's getting people's attention. It's what got people in the temple to pay attention to Peter and John in the first place and gave them the opportunity to communicate that they are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Why would people even want to pay attention? Because they saw this lame man who had been in the temple for years. He's healed. How did this happen? They were shocked. It was a miracle. And so they come to Peter and John thinking they're the source. Well, of course, they were the ones who commanded and prayed with him, and he was healed. But it's the opportunity for them to say, "It's not me, it's Jesus. The reason this man stands before you healed is because Jesus Christ, the one you condemned, who was crucified to crucifixion, has been raised, and he's alive again. And he's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He's poured out his Holy Spirit, and he's working through us, and he's the one who healed this man. It's in his name, Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth. It's in that name by which this man is saved." That's the heart of the preaching of the church. And he goes on to say, "This is the stone that is Jesus." Now he's quoting basically the Old Testament, that Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. "This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the cornerstone. And there's no salvation in anyone else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So Peter is communicating what's called the kerygma. It's the core message of the gospel. He's declaring, he's proclaiming a fact, a historical fact of Jesus' resurrection, the fact of who Jesus is. And he's saying, "We saw this, we bear witness to it, and we're telling you what it means." What it means is he's the one. He's the cornerstone. He's the Messiah. He's the one that alone can bring salvation to the world. He's the Savior of the world. And he's the only one, only in his name. And of course, it stirred them up even more. And they were perplexed. And they said, I mean, these are uneducated men. Like, what are they even doing here? I mean, why are they having this kind of impact? I mean, the leaders who are quite educated are surprised at the power and the clarity and the confidence that's in him. Again, something Jesus said would happen, that the Holy Spirit would anoint them, that the Holy Spirit would give them the words to speak, and it would be in the power of God, just like Jesus's preaching was in the power of God. And they wondered at the impact and the grace, you might say, they didn't use that word, but the grace that was moving through the apostles. But they recognized clearly that they had been with Jesus. And then they decided, let's warn them again. And they charged them not to speak anymore about Jesus. They said, don't speak at all or teach at all about the name. They had just said, this is the only name under heaven and earth by which someone can be saved. This miracle, which is undeniable and is testified to, is a sign that what we're telling you is true. And so the leaders resist it, and they resist the message, and they double down, and they say very clearly, don't even mention his name. no teaching, no preaching in his name at all, in the name of Jesus. And it goes on in verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because the people, for all men, praised God for what had happened. The crowds were following Peter and John, so the leaders had to be careful, just like they were with Jesus for a time. For the man whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old, the man who was healed. So they knew him, they understood him, and they're trying to figure out, now what are we going to do? We thought we dealt with the Jesus problem. Now what are we going to do with these guys? And so they released them, but they warned them again. They threatened them. They told them they would punish them. So how did the apostles respond to it? I think this is an important thing for us to consider, given the times we're living in right now, when the heat is being turned up on the church and the teaching of the church and things that the church stands for and the threats that are coming against the church and people in it, people getting canceled because they're standing against the tide. They're being forced to stand up and witness to what we believe to be the truth because lies are being imposed on us. We're being pressured to affirm things that are radically inconsistent with God's plan and purpose. Today's reading touches on this, where Peter and John leave that situation with the rulers and leaders of the people of Israel, and they go back to the brethren, they meet with them, and it says this. This is later in the chapter, verses 23 through 31. It says, after their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had told them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, you said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the nations rage and the peoples entertain folly? The kings of the earth took their stand and the princes gathered together against the Lord and his anointed. Here they're quoting Psalm 2. It's one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. Psalm 2 is talking about how the kings of the earth rise to resist God and the will of God. And then the apostles are recognizing that it's being fulfilled right there in them in their experience. And they turn, they pray, together they pray, and they said, Lord, now take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness as you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So that was their prayer, not that they were afraid and they wanted to be protected. They said, Lord, no, give us more boldness. Give us more grace that we can go forward in the name of Jesus and healings and signs and wonders can be performed in his name and we can testify to who he is. And it says, as they prayed, the place where they were gathered shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They continued to speak the word of God with boldness, despite the fact that the people of power threatened them and insisted that they not even talk about Jesus. They come back and all the brethren are rejoicing now and they understand what's unfolding because it's exactly what Jesus said, and the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has profoundly strengthened them to fulfill the mission that Jesus himself has given to them. Let's internalize, friends, these very lessons, because it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that was poured on the apostles that has been given to each one of us. Blessed be God.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.